Welcome, friends, to Truth Unveiled, where the mission and focus of a New You ministry is to reveal what truth actually is that can only be found in God's holy word, the Bible. Our subject for today is there really such a thing as a modern-day prophet? Before we get into our subject, I invite you to join me for a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we look at our subject today of modern-day prophets, help us and open to us the biblical understanding of what it means to be a prophet of God, and just what your requirements are that are revealed in your word. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The National Enquirer said Jean Dixon had only a 30% accuracy rate. That means 7 out of 10 things she predicted never happened. But the National Enquirer thinks that's great. If they only knew. God's prophets have 100% accuracy rate. The things they prophesy always come to pass. There are some senators, movie stars, and even presidents who would never think about making a single solitary decision without consulting their horoscope or astrologist, peering into a crystal ball, or delving into some other type of false prophecy. But let's see what the Bible has to say about all this. Well, to be quite honest, the Bible is very clear about the source of all of these types of things. In Revelation 16, verse 14, it warns, "For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth, and of the whole world." Then Jesus warned about these last days in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 24 by saying, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." Believe me, friend, God's people in these last days must be very careful not to be deceived by Satan's deceptions, because those who are taken in by them will be destroyed along with these works of darkness. Look at God's warning in Isaiah chapter 47, 13 and 14. "Thou art wearied in the multitude of thy counsels. Let now the astrologers, the stargazers, the monthly protagonizers stand up and save thee from these things that shall come upon thee. Behold, they shall be as stubble, the fire shall burn them. They shall not deliver themselves from the power of the flame. There shall not be a coal to warm at, nor fire to sit before it." Knowing this, many Christians today are leery of all prophecy and run to the other extreme, resisting all forms of prophetic knowledge. Now answer a question for me. Have you ever heard of someone making a counterfeit $3 bill? Of course not. Why? Because there is no genuine $3 bill. There can only be a counterfeit if there's a genuine. Therefore, when we see all these counterfeit prophets at the end of time, it just proves that God must have a genuine. The Bible is most clear about distinguishing the counterfeit from the genuine. Look at Paul's admonition in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21. "Quench not the spirit. Despise not prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good." Did you understand that? God is simply saying, especially to us in these last days, don't reject all prophecy. Just test them and try them and make sure they are from me. And when you find a genuine prophet, hold fast and don't let them go. You see, we can't reject all prophecy in the past or in the future. Because not only does the Bible tell us in 2 Peter 1:21 that holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost in the past, but he also told us in the last days, just before Jesus comes, God would send the gift of prophecy to his one true church. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 17, "And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." And Revelation 19:10, "For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." Here we see two identifying marks of God's last day church. One, they will be keeping the Ten Commandments. And two, they will have the gift of prophecy. The good woman of Revelation 12 represents God's true church. And when we get to verse 17, the very last verse in that chapter, God identifies his one true fold that is mentioned in John chapter 10 and verse 16. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Those which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And when we look over to Revelation 19:10, we find that the testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. Now, you know, there are quite a few Sabbath-keeping churches. I know of at least 5 or 6 denominations that go to church on Saturday. So how do you know which one of them is God's true church? Well, God gives a second sign for his true church in these last days. Besides being commandment keepers, God said, I'm going to bestow upon them the true gift of prophecy to lead them, and that will be my sign to everyone which one of these Sabbath-keeping churches is my true church. There is only one church that fits these identifying marks, that keep all of the Ten Commandments of God, and that have the testimony of Jesus Christ, which is the spirit of prophecy. God has bestowed upon the Seventh-day Adventist church or movement this gift of prophecy, the true gift of prophecy. I'm not talking about all this ridiculous hocus-pocus you see in the Christian world today. I'm actually talking about the gift of prophecy that stands up undeniably to the 12 biblical tests of a true prophet of God. Now, I know that's a bold statement, but that's what I want to show you now, and you can take it from there. I realize this is a volatile topic we're talking about here, but the Bible is very clear. If we are deceived by a false prophet, we are going to follow that false prophet into perdition. But on the other hand, if we reject the true prophet of God, we are rejecting the manifestation of God's Holy Spirit, and that's the unpardonable sin. That is why God's people in the last days must be wide awake, studying and praying Christians who test the spirits. Amen? Does the prophetic gift exist today? Is this prophetic gift necessary? Are there really any modern-day prophets? Well, the Bible does make it clear that the prophetic gift, the spirit of prophecy, is a New Testament phenomenon. The Apostle Paul, talking about various functions in the church, wrote, "And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." Thus, along with evangelists and teachers and pastors are prophets. And because evangelists, pastors, and teachers still exist in the church today, there is no reason to believe that the prophetic gift doesn't either. Paul also wrote, "Follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts, but rather that ye may prophesy. And therefore, my brothers, be eager to prophesy." No question, the gift of prophecy exists in our day. Now let's take a closer look at this gift of prophecy and how it relates to the Seventh-day Adventist movement. Let's put this to the biblical test of a prophet. In 1827, a little girl was born by the name of Ellen Gould Harmon. In 1844, at 17 years of age, Ellen Harmon was kneeling in a circle with a group of other young people. They were praying to God for wisdom and guidance. And while they were praying, suddenly young Ellen was taken in vision and was shown people walking along a narrow, winding pathway with a steep precipice on either side. The people were walking along very carefully, and as long as they kept their eyes heavenward, light shone on their pathway. And as soon as they looked down, however, the light vanished, and they fell to the rocks below. The spiritual significance of that is obvious, but this doesn't prove that Ellen Harmon was God's prophet. Many people, I am sure, have envisioned scenes such as that, but her life From that moment on is a different matter. At the age of 18, she married James White, and from then on was known as Ellen White, or simply Mrs. White. From her first vision there in 1844 until her death in 1915, Ellen White received over 2,000 visions, wrote over 50 volumes, 100,000 pages, and over 200 million words. She was God's prophet to the Seventh-day Adventist movement, and her voluminous writings continue to lead this movement, this church, to this day. Now I want to show you why and how she fulfills the 12 biblical tests of a true prophet. Friend, I have yet to find any of these prophets in other churches who can pass even 3 or 4 of these tests, let alone all 12. Here are the 12 tests of a prophet. Test number 1, Deuteronomy 18:21-22, and if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously. Though thou shalt not be afraid of him. In other words, if a prediction a prophet makes does not come to pass, he is a false prophet. That's pretty straightforward, isn't it? Not some predictions, but every prediction must come just as prophesied. This one just blows all these other guys out of the water. No excuses here. Some may say, but what about Jonah? He prophesied that Nineveh would be destroyed. He was God's prophet, but it never happened. What about that? Yes, friend, God told Jonah that if Nineveh didn't repent, he would destroy it. But they heeded Jonah's word, and they indeed repented, so God didn't destroy it. If a person is God's prophet, that prophecy comes to pass according to the conditions given, period. Test number 2. And he said, hear now my words. If there be a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known unto him in a vision, and will speak unto him in a dream. According to the Bible, a true prophet of God receives his communications from God by 2 distinct methods, dreams and visions. That's what the Bible says, and no further comment should really be necessary. Test number 3. He has said, which heard the words of God, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. He has said, which heard the words of God, and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. Therefore, test number 3 of these divine manifestations that God gives to identify a true prophet while in vision is that their eyes remain open. Very interesting, because this perfectly describes what would happen to Ellen White while she was in vision. People in her day would wave their hands in front of her face, trying to make her blink. On several occasions, men would take their fists and act as if they were going to hit her, then would stop just a couple of inches from her nose. Never once would she blink while in vision. She was oblivious to what was happening around her. Test number 4. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remains no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Another test of a true prophet is that they have no breath while in vision. In other words, they don't breathe. According to Scripture, this is one of the miracles God performs to identify a genuine prophet. While in vision, they don't breathe. During some of Ellen White's first visions, people would hold a mirror in front of her mouth to see if there was any condensation on it. Why, one man even came up and put his hand over her nose and her mouth to see if she was actually breathing. In one instance, there was a spiritualist physician in Parkville, Maryland, who bragged, "Ellen White just hypnotizes herself. If she ever went into vision when I was around, I'd snap her out of it. She wouldn't pull that kind of stuff around me. You know, God vindicated his servant because she went into vision one day when this man was in the room with her. Now was his chance to snap her out of it, of her mesmerized state. So he went up to her and began doing the things he believed would bring her out of her hypnotized state. Suddenly, he turned and ran for the door. Just as he got out the side door, the deacon grabbed him by the arm and said, "Where are you going, doctor?" He turned around and in a strangled voice said, "My God, she doesn't breathe." Test number 5. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me. Before a vision, a prophet may be very weak in physical strength, but when taken in vision, a true prophet will suddenly receive supernatural strength. On one occasion, Sister White lifted a Bible that weighed approximately 18 pounds and held it out at arm's length for over 30 minutes. You should know that she was a frail woman who weighed less than 100 pounds. Here's a picture of that 18-pound Bible. That's a regular Bible laying on top of it. Notice the difference. Also, while holding the Bible, Ellen also quoted the scripture on the pages exposed at that moment without looking at them. Over the years, men have had that very Bible in their hands. Most could only hold this Bible at arm's length no longer than 1 minute. Why, the one-time strongest man in the world, Mr. Universe, held that Bible out at arm's length for 4 minutes. And friend, let me assure you, all the things I'm telling you today are well documented. I'm not just talking off the cuff here. Going on to test number 6. The prophet which prophesieth of peace, when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the prophet be known that the Lord hath truly sent him. A true prophet absolutely does not lie. His predictions will be 100% fulfilled. Test number 7. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. A true prophet does not give his own interpretation of scripture. Every prophecy he or she proclaims will agree with already established truth. If they receive new light, it must agree with the old light God has already given. Test number 8. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So a true prophet prophesies in the name of the Lord, not in his own name. A true prophet will manifest the fruits of that same Spirit because he or she speaks through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Test number 9. But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. In other words, a true prophet gives direction to God's true church. And a true prophet's messages will cover all of these areas. Edification, to instruct morally. Exhortation, this means to strongly advise. And comfort, to soothe and distress or sorrow, to console. All of these things will be exemplified by a true prophet. Test number 10. And when they shall say unto you, seek unto them that have familiar spirits, and unto wizards that peep, and that mutter, should not a people seek unto their God, for the living to the dead, to the law and to the testimony? If they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them. God gives a clear distinction between false prophets and true prophets here, between the works of hellish darkness and the works of heavenly light. How could it be any plainer? God says, to the law. What's the law? It is the Ten Commandment law of God. And to the testimony. What is the testimony? The testimony is the rest of Scripture. If they speak not according to this word, that is the Ten Commandments in the Bible, it is because they have no light in them. Friend, that's not what I say, it's what God says. That means a true messenger of God will keep all of God's Ten Commandments. In other words, a true prophet of God is going to be a seventh-day Sabbath keeper. Was Ellen White a seventh-day Sabbath keeper? You better believe she was. God showed her in vision how this commandment was being desecrated, that is, the Sabbath day. It was being ignored and forgotten by almost the entire world. And through the prophetic gift of this little lady, God raised up a people who would honor all of his commandments. Test number 11. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is in the world. A true prophet believes in the incarnation of Jesus Christ and will never question the fact that Jesus came in man's fallen nature, in our fallen flesh. The Bible says any person or church claiming that Jesus Christ came to this earth in any other way than in the fallen flesh that you and I have is the spirit of Antichrist. In other words, it's imperative that you and I understand correctly Christ's human nature while on this earth. Ellen White believed and taught the correct biblical definition of Christ's human nature. He came to this earth in our nature, in our fallen human flesh. But in spite of that, he never yielded to temptation. He was sinless, and you and I can be victorious over all sin in our life through the power and the blood and the strength of our Lord Jesus Christ, our perfect example. Hebrews 4:15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, not Adam's infirmities before he fell. He didn't have any, that is, our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Don't you see, Jesus' perfect life on this earth was an example for us to follow. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that ye should follow his steps. This test, number 11, plainly states that God's true messengers on this earth will be teaching victory over sin, and that Jesus' perfect life is not our substitute, but our example. Very important. Christ was our substitute only on Calvary. His perfect life is our example. Through the power and strength of Jesus Christ, can we stop sinning? Yes. Unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. There is not one sin in our life that Jesus cannot give us victory over if we will just let him do so. Test number 12. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. In other words, look at what their ministry produces. If all they produce is a good time, with theme parks and water slides, and all they spend their time doing is telling people to send them money on the authority of the Word of God, that person is a false prophet. Why do all these false prophets today insist you send them your money? If they're truly of God, they should be happy for going anywhere in God's work. But no, they tell you that you must send it to them before God will bless you. Well, by their fruits ye shall know them. This is exactly what God showed Ellen White about false prophets in the last days. Look at the fruits of a ministry. Look at the fruits of a messenger. Are they preaching the truth or lining their own pockets? Very important. Now, friend, we just looked at the 12 biblical tests of a true prophet. You can examine the Bible from Genesis to Revelation, and you can apply these 12 tests to any person who has ever lived since the time of John the Revelator, which was around 100 AD. You can take these 12 tests of Scripture and line them up with anyone who has lived in the past 1800 years. As far as I know, they will only match up with one person that we know of, a little woman who lived from 1827 to 1950 by the name of Ellen G. White. Ellen White passed all 12 tests of a prophet. Look at these wonderful passages from Scripture showing us the necessity of a prophet. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. By a prophet the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt, and by a prophet was he preserved. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord, and they testified against them, but they would not give ear. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye prosper. But are you sure you understand the significance of this gift of prophecy? You see, God manifested himself to us in his own. Jesus came and dwelt among us, and after he left, he promised us something. It was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit manifests himself to us through the gifts. When we reject the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we reject the Holy Spirit. When we reject the Holy Spirit, we reject Jesus. When we reject Jesus, we reject salvation. Do you see that? When we reject the gifts of the Holy Spirit gives, we reject Jesus Christ himself. And the sin that God cannot forgive is the continual rejection of his Holy Spirit. Do you see the ramifications of this? Do you see the magnitude of rejecting the gift of the Holy Spirit? What we've got to do is to test the spirits. We must see if what we're seeing is of God, because if we reject it, we are rejecting the Holy Spirit. You know, I feel sorry for these people who say, just give me the Bible and the Bible only. No modern day prophet, just the Bible. Now, doesn't that sound pious? There's only one problem with that. You can't separate the two, because the Bible testifies of latter-day prophets. Each testifies of the other. If you truly take the Bible as the living Word of God, then you must accept the true gift of prophecy because the Bible testifies to it. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my Spirit. God has given the true gift of prophecy to his church in these last days for one reason. We have a fearful yet exciting job to do. We must warn a sensual, seduced world of a coming Savior. God has given the spirit of prophecy, its admonitions, and its counsels to prepare his people to do that task. Will you join with God's people? Will you accept this precious gift of prophecy? Will you realize its value? Will you let it prepare you for eternity? If you do, your success is guaranteed. Because I have called, and ye refused, I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. O friend, God has given the true gift of prophecy to lead his children down through the ages, and in these last days we need it now more than ever. How can we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, I realize many people will have a difficult time from the message they have just heard and seen. They don't know who Ellen White was. They've never heard her name before. And if they have, it was probably negative. Lord, help these dear folks to study this out for themselves and not to be swayed by the stigma Satan has tried to attach to your true prophet and your true church. Please, dear Lord, help us not to be swayed from the truth by the opinions of others, but to read and study and pray and permit your Holy Spirit to lead us into all truth and to hold fast to that which is good, regardless of the consequences. Thank you for the strength to stand for the truth in these trying times, the strength that only comes from you. In the precious name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen.